Welcome to the Outreach Mass. O my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. For those who are unable to receive Holy Communion today in person, let us pray a spiritual communion prayer and ask for the graces of the most holy and blessed sacrament. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
Today we get a beautiful story, and it's really the third story we've been hearing these past Sundays, which is known as kind of the scrutinies, which is really dived in deeper for those who are going through OCIA. But if we recall, right, the first one was the woman at the well, and the Lord said, I have this wellspring of water, life everlasting. If you come and ask, I'll give it to you. Last week, he cured a man who was born blind. Impossible, they said, yet he did it. Once again, proving who he was. And today we have this honestly bizarre story. I mean, honestly, all these stories are bizarre. Right? I mean, last week he literally spit in someone's eyes, right? Kind of awkward. Right. Today, even more. And what I love about all three of these is that Jesus is showing us the depth, how far we have to go to trust him. He keeps getting deeper and deeper, saying, trust me here. Trust me with this. And not only is it how far we have to go, but honestly, it is how far he is willing to go to bring us back to life. Right? Not only can he give us everlasting life with that water that will never run dry, not only can he heal our blindness while we are still living, but today, he can even bring us back to death, from death. That's his power, because he's God. He can do what he wants. And he desires for us to have life and to have it abundantly. And so we get this interesting story being played out. Right? He hears that his friend, the one whom he loves, is ill. And he's like, cool, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to rest. I'm going to relax a little bit. Not worried about it. But then he goes, because his friend had died. Right? This is intentional, okay? And it's really strange. No one in their right mind would do that. If you have a loved one and they say, hey, I just got the terminal diagnosis of cancer, they said I have like a week to live, you would pretty much run to their bedside to say your goodbyes, to be with them in those last moments. And Jesus is just like, I'm going to sit on the couch, watch a few TV shows, I'll get there eventually. And so it could seem like he doesn't care. It could seem like this is not important to him. And we even get that sense when he shows up and Martha and Mary, they basically say the same thing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Right? You could have done something if you were here. Why weren't you? Right? That can be easily kind of the mentality that we feel. But Jesus tells us the reason why he waited was to show his glory, to show the depth of his love. Because death can't stop him. Death is not something that he is kind of held back from. And that's something that everyone there needed to know. Because if you went right away, healed him, that would have got lost in the shuffle. He's done that before. He's healed people left and right. Not uncommon. People would start to say, typical Jesus. But no one has brought someone back from the dead. Right? Even his closest friends, the ones who just saw him, right? Cure the man born blind. The crowd who saw it, they're like, couldn't he have done something? Everyone thinks that this now is beyond his control. That death is on top. That Jesus can't do a thing. And so often that's what we believe. So often we are deathly afraid of death, thinking, oh, if that's the end, I am deathly afraid, I don't know what I'm gonna do. And we have fear, frustration, even anger, because we don't actually trust the Lord. We don't actually believe that he has power over death. But he does. We see in our gospel today, he most certainly has power over death. He has defeated death, defeated Satan, defeated sin through his death on the cross. And so he intentionally waited for his friend Lazarus to die to show up. So much so that it was 4 days he had been in the tomb. A great little detail, but an important one. Right? If they had just put him in the tomb, literally hours, well, some would say, well, he wasn't actually dead. He just seemed to be dead. Right? You got it wrong. But now 4 days, you kind of know. Right? You already kind of start getting the physical appearances change after 4 days. Hence why they said, Lord, it's been 4 days. There's a stench. He's going to stink. Yeah, you betcha he will. I mean, I don't know if I really want to open that tomb, honestly. But Jesus said, no. He was not afraid. He was not surprised or shocked. He knew exactly what he was doing. And so today we really need to get back to actually believing that God is God. To believe that he can actually do what he says he can do. And the problem that we have so often is not that we ask God for too much, but really we ask him for too little. We think too little of him, right? That so many things are beyond his control. Honestly, that's why we get really upset. We get angry, like, Lord, why did my mom just get cancer? Why did my baby just die after 2 months old? Why are there people starving in Africa? Why are people dying in the course of all natural disasters? Why is there war and genocide? Why do I keep struggling with this particular sin again and again? Why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you here? If you were, things could be different. But they're not, so you aren't. See, we so often have this mentality, but it's the wrong one. Because Jesus is here. He is present at every moment of our lives. And he is deeply concerned for us. He is constantly desiring us to draw closer to him. He understands. That's why he weeps. He weeps for Lazarus. He weeps for those who are doubting. He's weeping for those who are in despair, who have bitterness, who are discouraged by what's going to happen. Well, he is not discouraged. But he knows exactly what he's doing. Now, the great news for us today is that since Jesus can bring people back from the dead, right, not only other people, but himself, it's a pattern. It means that none of us are beyond saving. It does not matter how far away from God you think you are, how entrenched in sin you might be. It doesn't matter. Jesus can bring you back. He desires to bring you back. All he asks of us is to have faith, to trust in him, to actually believe that he is God, that what he says is true. Because what does he say? He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life.